Praise the Lord. Can we all be seated and the choristers stand, stand where they are? Praise the Lord. Just a little housekeeping. Today is the Pentecost Sunday. How many of us know that? To God be the glory. We talk in terms of dispensations. We talk in terms of dispensation of the Father. And people talk about the Old Testament. We talk in terms of dispensation of God, the Son, coming for the first time. Then we say the God of now is the God, the Holy Spirit. And I was expecting that at least we pray Jesus, shine Jesus, shine, and so on. We appreciate it. It's God. But today we need to sing our hymn to God, the Holy Spirit, which is not out of place. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they are the same. Trinity, we glorify. So, I just was thinking of a song. I was just thinking of a hymn that we are going to sing. The Comforter has come. Can we pick it up? The Comforter has come. God, the Holy Spirit, is the Comforter that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, promised us. God is Son. Oh, spread that tidings round where man is found, where human hearts are found, human woes abound. Let every Christian tongue proclaim the joyful sound, the Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's from his given. Oh, spread that tidings round wherever man is found. The Comforter has come. Praise the Lord. I believe that today's service, we must feel the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. And he's here in our midst. He's the God of now. I find it difficult to call Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, because man is made of the body, the soul, and the spirit. When you give your life to Christ, your spirit is transformed. And it becomes hallowed and holy. But there is a part of God, and who is God, which is called God, the Holy Spirit. Brethren, we is the God of the now, is the one that answers our prayers, is the one who helps us to pray. A time is coming when the Lord Jesus Christ will return. And when he comes back again, the dispensation will come, the millennial reign will come, and so on. But now, we need to identify and glorify God, the Holy Spirit. Let us close our eyes and thank God for the gift of God, the Holy Spirit, to the world. Let's begin to thank him, because there is no one like him. Is the Almighty God, is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's thank him for the promise of the Father, which has been sent to us. Let's thank him because there is no one that we can thank like him. He's glorious in holiness. He's been doing wonders in our midst. He answers our prayers. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. And suddenly, my daughter came forward. And she said, she reminded her of that passage in 1 John. That if you ask, that this is the confidence that we have. That if we ask anything in his name, we have the assurance that we have our petition. And I want you to close your eyes. Ask anything. Most especially if you are here, you have not given your life to Christ. I want you to ask that, Lord Jesus, come into my life. If you have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, say, God, the Holy Spirit, I need you in my life. Fill me with your life. What do you want? There's nothing we needed that is greater than salvation. Let's begin to talk to God. If you ask anything, commit the rest of this week into the hand of the Lord. Oh, you have a sister, you have a daughter, you have a mother who is celebrating her birthday. Glorify the name of the Lord for the gift of God for everybody born in the month of May. To God be all the glory. We worship you, we adore you. Ask. Don't listen to me alone as if I'm the one talking and praying. Pray for me, I'm praying for you. Ask, what do you want God to do? Take all the glory, Lord. Take all the honor. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. And so, our Father, we thank you for a beautiful day like this, the day of Pentecost. Thank you, loving God, because you never fail. When you promise, you bring it to pass. You promise to send the Comforter, which is God the Holy Spirit, before the Lord Jesus Christ departed. And on the day of Pentecost, you sent him. He has abided with us ever, and he has been guiding us. Take all the glory, Lord. Father, today, O Lord, speak to us. Individually speak to us. Collectively speak to us. At the end of the service, God, the Holy Spirit, let us know that we have met with you. Thank you, Father, for answer to prayers. For in Jesus' precious name, we pray. I have a little confession to make. Initially, I thought I'll just stay at home and broadcast the message that I will call the pastor that I like to bring the message in Zoom. But we thank God that God is faithful. He has strengthened me and brought me to be here. Secondly, when I was told that I've been bringing the message, I've been praying to God. Lord, what do you want me to say to your people? And I got it clearly. Tale of the unexpected. Tale of the unexpected. I don't know how many of us remember that series. It's a detective series in those days. It's a television series called Tale of the Unexpected. How many of us remember it? I know it is old school. So I was thinking Tale of the Unexpected. How was a message based on Tale of the Unexpected? The last Sunday, last week, someone reminded me, the Lord reminded me, that this Sunday is the Pentecost Sunday. And I already prepared my message. Tale of Unexpected and Pentecost Sunday. How do you marry it? How do you marry it? Then I trust God, that God in his mercy will help us. Even to what he wants to say to us, the Lord will perfect everything in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. So today, sorry, please. If you are going to give a title to the message, it's the tale of the Pentecost Sunday service, tale of the unexpected. But before you talk in terms of the unexpected, we want to talk of the expected. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, which is our text for the Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Can we quickly read it? When the day of Pentecost has fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Remember, this mighty rushing wind is God the Holy Spirit. It's not a wind, it's God. And we continue. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and what sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Who gave them the utterance? God, the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. For this message today, when we refer to God, the Holy Spirit, I want us to use it as God, the Holy Spirit. It gives us a lot of differences. And it's because of what I was coming from. And I will explain it later. Three, Pentecost. Sorry. The tale of the unexpected, the day of Pentecost. When you look at number one, the Old Testament deals with God the Father. The Gospel deals with God the Son. Acts and the Epistles with God the Holy Spirit. That is, immediately you talk in terms of Christmas, when Jesus was born, the first stage ended. God the Son appeared in our midst. During Easter, the second stage, and Pentecost, the presence of God the Holy Spirit, as Jesus was going, departing for the first time. Then finally, Jesus is coming back, and the millennial reign will come. So as at present, in some parlance, they will say we are in the dispensation of God, the Holy Spirit. So, brethren, we are in the Pentecost. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and we are in the dispensation of God, the Holy Spirit. We need to understand this Pentecost. The first thing, Jesus gave us the proof that it is expedient for him to go. That after going, he is coming back. But before, during his absence, he is going to pray the Father to send God the Holy Spirit, which is the Comforter, to reassure the disciples. He gave the disciples the setting. There was a feast going on. As they gathered, he asked them, he gave them an instruction to wait. He asked them to wait. Wait for what? For the promise of the coming of the Father. And suddenly, in obedience, they gathered together like we are gathered. And then God, the Holy Spirit, came. there was an infilling. He came to fill every one of them. And to show that he has filled them, they started speaking in unknown language, in different tongues. Expected, because God has promised it. Unexpected, because these were Galileans. And everybody started hearing them in their own language. I remember one year I went to the U.S. When I got to the U.S., somebody was sick in the hospital. I was to go and pray for that person it was Maryland. As I finished praying for that person, I heard some people speaking Yoruba. That's my mother tongue in another word. And I jumped to the conclusion that there must be some Yoruba people there. So I went to the world to see them. To my surprise, they're all white. I said, which of you speak Yoruba? They said, what is Yoruba? Then I told them what I had. They said they were Christians. And they are speaking in tongues, unknown tongues to them. But God brought an interpreter. God brought an interpreter. This is different from praying in tongues to edify yourself. Occasionally, God allows you to speak in a language that you did not learn. And that is where tongues come. But there are many errors nowadays. I have fallen a victim of that error too in my earlier years. When you see somebody speaking a language you don't understand or speaking in tongues, the first thing you do is to jump into conclusion. That must be a Christian. That must be a Christian. So, the first church I pastored, and I'm talking in terms of more than 50 years ago, about more than 40 years ago, there was a quarrel in a family, and the woman came and said the mother-in-law was the problem of the the problem in the family. And some of them gathered, they said there was a prophet in the 1-4 Square church. That prophet, you don't need to speak. He will tell you the reason why you are visiting. So one day we just gathered, I took them in my car to go and see the prophet. This is sister that we all cherish. In fact, if you ask me as a pastor to stop preaching, I will stop preaching. If he brings a message, we listen to him, to her. So immediately we got there, and this is his sister. So when we got there, the prophet said, let us pray. And we started praying. And as usual, the sister started speaking in tongues. The prophet opened her eyes and said, stop speaking in Mami Water language. I was surprised. Mami Water language. Then she started arguing. God gave me this tongue and so on. And I can never tell anybody in the team of those days that I took anybody from the church to another church just to cover the tracks. I just said, sorry, sir, forgive us, let us go. Then the man made a pronouncement that you say I'm lying. If you do not come back within 7 days, you will die. Ah, the thing got worried. I got worried. So I took them in my car. I was praying. We went. To me, up to that man, the woman, it was the
prophet who has seen something. So I went. Then on the fifth day, the sister came. I said, what is wrong? Sorry about the other day. He said, we are going to see the man again. I said, no, we are not going there. Do you want me to die? With all the lies he told her, they are against you. Do you want me to die? Anyway, to cut the long story short, we had to go back when she started weeping. And there was a lot of confession. Brethren, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, chapter 14, you will read a lot about speaking in tongues. In fact, at a certain stage, Paul said to all speak in tongues that it is a gift. If God has not given you the gift, you can covet it. But don't falsify it. Don't falsify it. We don't know what is really going on. The Lord will continue to protect us. I want us to keep cover yourself with the blood of Jesus and close our eyes and let us start praying. Let's pray. Let's pray right now that God in his mercy will have mercy on our generation. Covet the gift, the best gift, which is love. Suddenly I discovered when I was reading Romans 12 that mercy is also a gift. That God can give us mercy. I want you to start talking to God. God the Holy Spirit. Oh, that he will fill you up. He will strengthen you. He will pray for you. Oh, if you don't have any prayer requests, pray for me. Pray for me that God will grant me utterance. And the Lord in his mercy will do what only he can do in our lives. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. What is the most significance of the Pentecost? It is not speaking in tongues. It is not speaking in tongues. I speak in tongues. I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe there are genuine tongues. And the Lord will help us. The most significant is that when you read the story, a message was preached on the Pentecost day, and 3,000 people gave their life to Christ. 3,000 people gave their life to Christ. So the most significant is what God they expected. Let's look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So the significance I will see that. Thank you. Thank you very much. The significance of Pentecost is for us to win souls to Christ. The presence of God, the Holy Spirit, is for us to be a witness to him around the whole world. Now I'm sitting down because it is a time for us to re-examine ourselves. Last week, how many people did you speak to concerning Jesus Christ? either by text, by phone, or the when you call him, the way you call them, or you go out at your place of work. When I asked how many times did you speak in tongues last week, you just discovered that those who are gifted, we use these gifts every time and on a daily basis. But the essence of the empowerment is for us to be a witness to him and go all over the world. That is what Jesus is trying to tell us. There are so many things that God wants to tell us about Pentecost, restoration, and service. Thank God, I'm not currently the pastor, but I believe God was speaking to my pastors. Suddenly, globally, the Lord gave us a thing for this year. It is called restoration. It's the year God wants to restore us. And particularly, God spoke to us in amazing grace. What did he say? He said this year is a year of rebuilding. When you talk in terms of restoration, something that has broken down, that needed to be renewed. When you talk in terms of rebuilding, you see similarity. Now comes the tale of the expected from the Master Jesus Christ. God has empowered us. He has given us the word to go and make sure we win. So for him. Then the expected before the unexpected. What is the expectation? That you are not taken away immediately you gave your life to Christ. Because God has a purpose for your life. To rise up for the salvation of others. Are you doing that? To make sure that it is easier for you, he has empowered you. With God, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. He's not only going to abide with you forever. He's going to empower you. He's going to pray with you. He's going to pray for you. Because the Bible says we don't even know how to pray. But the Holy Spirit pray for us with groaning, which we cannot accept. Then suddenly, are you wise or you're unwise? When you know about something that is going to happen, and that thing caught you unawares, it shows that you are not wise. You have been told, you have been informed that it's going to rain. And you can hear the thunder and so on. And suddenly the rain started. And you are surprised. It shows you are not wise. But when you are fully prepared by what you have been informed, by the time it comes, it's not going to catch you unawares. You are said to be wise. I know many of us must have known hard That if you fail to plan, you have planned to fail. So you need to plan to be wise. What are you doing concerning your lives? You plan for your children. You plan the way you spend your money. What are you doing concerning the work that God expects you to do? Win souls, and you have been empowered. There are a series of examples of what God is trying to tell us today. I'll start by Grandpa Eli. We know the story of Grandpa Eli. Eli, God has promised him that he's going to continue to be a priest in his house. That his lineage, his family, they will be priests in Israel. But alas, it was not to be. Because the children sinned, and he also sinned. God has to raise Samuel and send a message to him. This is what I'm going to do. And what did he say in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 18? 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 18. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 18. Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. No repentance, no crying for forgiveness, nothing. Let God do what he pleases. How many of us are saying that now? How many of us are saying, God, do your worst indirectly? And that's exactly what he did. And I want to tell you, it spelled disaster for Eli. It spelled disaster for Eli because Eli died with his children. That will not be our portion in the mighty name of Jesus. But in contrast, see King David. I said King David. I wanted to say Uncle David. I know immediately I say Uncle David, some people will know, think that I was talking, I'm bringing it home. And I don't want to miss my pop-off. You don't understand, but I understand what I'm saying. So King David, when you read 1 Chronicles chapter 21, we are not reading it. King David sinned by numbering Israel. And God sent a message that he has sinned is going to punish him. What happened? David was remorse. In repentance, he cried to God. In fact, he got to a point when you read 1 Chronicles 21, because of our time, he negotiated his punishment. He said, please don't let me fall in the hand of men. Do whatever you want to do for me, Lord, yourself. That's the tale of the expected. God is expecting us to repent. God is expecting us to cry unto him. God is expecting us to return back to our first love. He was forgiven. He was restored. Maybe you are saying, those are Old Testament stories. But beloved, they are not Old Testament stories alone. Let's take Brother Judas and Brother Peter, for example. They are in the New Testament. I know immediately I say Brother Judas, some people will start saying, it's not a brother. But I want to tell you, it was a disciple. He was an officer of the church. If as he was the treasurer, forget it that he was stealing money or he was misappropriating funds. But he was one of the disciples, a saint. To show the magnanimity of God, despite the fact that God warned Peter, that Satan wants to have you, and so on, both of them fell. Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter denied Jesus. But what's the consequence for Judas? Judas went and killed himself. He hanged himself. But Brother Peter was remorse. He was sorry. The Bible records that he wept bitterly. And he was forgiven. He did not kill himself. Why? He knew the expected. What is God expecting for us? I don't know, I must have told the story. It's a story about Mary, the rain girl. Mary was 8 years old. Suddenly, in the town where she lived, there was no rain for years. There was drought. There was famine. And they asked everybody to be calling their God. So it was the turn of the Christians to go to the village square to go and pray that God will send rain to their town. And everybody ready, people carry their Bible, they carry their bag and so on. But Mary was different. What happened? While going for that prayer meeting in the hall, Mary carried an umbrella. And believe you me, everybody started laughing. It has not rained for years. It has not rained for months. What do you want to use the umbrella for? Mary said, we are going to pray to Jesus for rain. And there are going to be rain. And when it rains, I don't want to get wet. That is the faith that God is expecting from you and me. That is the expected that God is expecting. It rained that day. I wish I could ask the children. Only one person did not get wet when it started raining. Who is that person? Mary! It was Mary. So God's instruction for us in this Pentecost day can be found in Deuteronomy 29:29. Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of the law. Now remember the law. We are now talking in terms of God, the Holy Spirit, the Pentecost. What is the word of God for us? The secret things that we don't know. God is not bothering us. It's the tale of the unexpected. But the expected is the one that has been revealed. True Pastor Adeboye said it's a year of restoration. True Pastor D, he said it's the year of rebuilding. Those ones are known. They are for you and our children. The secret things belong to God. One of the things that God has revealed to us in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 is that we are going to be a witness. We are going to be a witness. And to be a witness, you must be born again. When I was young in our secondary school days, we remember we talk in terms of the Roman road to salvation. Roman road to salvation. So we believe that if you are born again, you must read over and over the book of Romans. Because it's in the book of Romans, you see Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is in the book of Romans that you see Romans 6:23. But the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. It is in the book of Romans that you see Romans 10:17, I believe, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. It is in the book of Romans. There are so many things that you can see in the book of Romans that can lead to salvation, that can make your salvation permanent. But today we are going to focus on Romans chapter 12. We are going to focus on Romans chapter 12. If you have your Bible where you are seated, open to Romans chapter 12. No. Just open to Romans chapter. We are not going to read the whole Romans chapter 12. We are not going to read the whole Romans chapter 12. I just want us to note Romans chapter 12. For instance, he said you are in verse 1 to 2. Sorry, Pastor K has put it on the wall. It used to be a memory verse. It used to be a challenge in this church. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Initially, I thought I would see all of us recite it. But now we can read it. What is God telling us is already recorded. It's the tale of the expected. Can we read it together from the board? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Just 1 to 2 for the time being. So God is saying we have to be living sacrifice. And to be a living sacrifice, you need the empowerment. You need to be filled with God, the Holy Spirit. You need the empowerment. As you continue in Romans, we don't need to read it. You just discover that the following thing talk about spiritual gift things. The gift of God. That is, he did not only empower you, he has given you some giftings. That's where you start saying that those who have been called to exhortation, you must exhort according to the faith of God in your life. Those who have been called for mercy, you must show mercy according to the proportion of faith in your life. I want us, when you get home, to read it. Because we are going to read how to behave like a Christian. And we are going to examine ourselves. We are going to read it fast. Can we see Romans chapter 12, verse 9? How to be a Christian. Don't use a telescope. Don't see me. Don't see your husband. Don't see somebody seated beside you. Use a mirror. Brother Andy, when you use a mirror, who will you see in the mirror? You see yourself. So we are going to see ourselves. He starts saying, let love be without hypocrisy. When I say I love you, I love you. When you say you love me, love me. All that which is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. God is talking. Are you guilty as charged? Not lagging in diligence, perfect in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patience in tribulation, continue steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. I won't mention one sister. The last time I had a good meal with her, she was not married. It was spaghetti and mixed beans. So the next time I said, look here, you are not married. I'm not going to eat spaghetti. I'm going to eat padayam. It look like a joke. Hospitality is part of it. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Watch your prayers. Rejoice with those who are rejoicing and weep with those who are weeping. Are you guilty? Do you dance when some people are weeping? Be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Oh, this is that in the it? It says, repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, not your pastor, not your husband, not me, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself. Be rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Difficult. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Finally, he says in verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Brother, sister, what is the level of your Christianity? Those are the expected. Those are what God is expecting. So it is not the tale of unexpected. It is written down. And daily God continues to confirm it in your life. Are you guilty? If yes, are you going to be like Judas or Eli? Or you are going to be like Peter or David? The answer is yours. Also, God is saying that this time around, we must pray with expectation. Many of us, we don't miss any prayers. Just like Mary the rain girl. She was going to the town. The town hall to pray for rain. She had an umbrella because she was expectant. Before your exam, you are praying. Lord, I have to pass this exam. Give me wisdom to write the right thing. When you finish the exam, Satan has set somebody on the road. How was the exam? I failed it again. According to your pronunciation, what you voice out, remember you have prayed. And do you know the funniest thing? In the life of Abraham, he was calling those things that be not as if they were, and God counted it for faith for him. He was taking Isaac to be crucified. There was no, when Isaac said, I can see the light, I can see the sun. Where is the lamb for the sacrifice? He said, God will provide. Brethren, God is telling us, call those things that be not as if they were in faith, in prayers. And according to your faith, it shall be done unto you. But make sure it is in line with the word of God. Don't steal. God is another thing God is telling us because of time. We are not going to. We know this, the death of Herod. In the same passage we read, don't share or steal God's glory. When you listen to some people give testimony, and I read, and I fasted, and I prayed, and I did that. They remove God out of it. As it is by their own effort, that is how they accomplish it. When you get home, read verse 20 to 25 and see Herod. When he took God's glory, worms ate him alive. Next one, don't trust in the arm of flesh. Don't trust the arm of flesh. Trust God, the Holy Spirit. Some people trust in chariots. Some trust in horses. But the psalmist says, we will trust the Lord. When they are falling, we will stand. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. He said, trust the Lord. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your paths. Put your trust in the Lord. Yes. I did my first 2 degrees in science. In the uni. In fact, initially I thought when I was doing my level, I was going to be a pastor. I'd be a doctor. But I left that for some of my children now. Occasionally, what you see is not what God wants you to see. The world says seeing is believing. But God said, believe, and you will see the glory of God. Don't trust in the harm of flesh. The Lord will help us. I hope that this message, which is the we are putting together. The next one, God said, delay is not denial. Are you experiencing delay? We had a beautiful Bible study about delay. But God is telling you today that delay is not denial. Let's see Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. I want us to read the passage in Habakkuk because I know it's going to bless us. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it shall speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will come, says the Lord. And the prophet in Habakkuk chapter 3, went further to say, even if the fig tree will not blossom, oh, no matter what happens, let your faith be strong in the Lord. Let your faith be strong in the Lord. And this year, God has told us, it's our year of restoration. It's our year of restoration. And we have heard it over and over again that the Lord promised to restore. He will restore your health. When you look at Jeremiah 30, 17, He will restore your career. He will restore your life. He will restore your home. Every area you want restoration, when once God says it, it is done. You say, when God gives the vision, He will make the provision. A thousand may be falling by your side, 10,000 by your right hand, but they will never come near you. It's the promise of the Lord. He will fulfill it. Apart from restoration, He said it is our time to build the house of God. Because of our time, I want you to take to write it down. Because God is talking to us individually. 2 Kings 12, 15. I was praying when sometimes I say, hey, our catchment area, that is what our catchment area, not far from the university, not far from the something. He said, let the priest go everywhere and find wood, and find something, and the Lord will do it. God wants to build. I'm not used to it. Everybody knows that I am not. I don't say God says, unless I'm quoting the Bible. And I was praying, and suddenly, I don't know if I've repeated it. It was like God saying, how many of you are living in rented homes? Rented apartments. That you don't have the whole house that you call your own. And I started thinking, I cannot remember. I believe God was speaking to me. Then one day, I was praying. And God said, anyway, I had it in my mind. Let me not say God said. There are six people in Amazing Grace that can buy a church for Amazing Grace. I sat down, I started laughing. Listen, believe it is my brain wave. Then I was speaking, I was praying. Sorry, I'm not, because I wrote it down in my something. I just feel like a family discussion. Then I say, six men? He said, six men. Then I had six men and six women. I don't know who you are. Don't believe me. Go and pray. If God is confirming it, He's confirming it to you. And trust me, those who know me know what I would do. I say, here I am, use me. Here I am, use me. As the Lord wants somebody, here I am, use me. Use me right now, oh Lord, here I am. Use me. Here I am. Use me. As the Lord wants somebody. Here I am. Use me. I wish God said only one person can buy it. And do you know what? I will have said, Lord, let me be that only one person. And it will happen. And it will happen. So, brethren, it is the tale of the expected, not the tale of the unexpected. Sorry, can I have the outline back? So there is a daily reminder, which is number 7. Daily reminder that God is reminding me. And now they say twice a day we quote 2 Chronicles 7:14. Whenever we do the quoting and the prayers, we are praying for God to heal the land. But every time I recite it, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, God reminds me, run away from pride and forsake their wicked ways. He was not talking to the unbelievers. Anything that is not of God is wickedness. And God is talking to us. Daily reminding us, and I want us to put it on our letter. Anytime you're reciting it, Lord, send away pride from my life. And suddenly, last vigil, I think it was Sister Ovo who was praying, and he started praying for pastors. The following day, it just popped up from my Facebook, a reminder. 10 years ago, this week was Pastor's Appreciation Week. Pastor in Redeemed Christian Church of God, Pastor's Appreciation Week. And I look back for the next 5 years after that one, it was celebrated in the month of May. Now it may not be so. There's nothing like that. I want us to close our eyes and pray for your pastor. Water flow from the earth, wherever you are. Whether you like him or not, whether you know him or not, if God has called him your pastor, let's remember our Father and the Lord also. Let's cover them with the blood of Jesus. Smile at them. Do something good to them. Remember them in your prayers. Most especially this time around. Pray for your pastor. Pray for Pastor D. Pray for those who have pastoral duties in your life. The ministers of God have been a blessing. Those who have been praying for you. Pray for them. Begin to pray for them. That God in his mercy will uphold them. The Lord will increase the anointing. The anointing for yesterday is not enough for today. That God will make them your mouthpiece. God make them your mouthpiece in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, make them current. Let make them your oracles in the mighty name of Jesus. Perfect everything that concerns them. Let the joy of the Lord be their strength. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Now let's begin to pray. It's the tale of the expected. What do you think God expects of you in this today, Pentecost day? Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you living a good life, a Christian life? Do you forgive easily? Do we find it difficult to be hospitable? Do you sow? Oh, do you give without expecting reward? Do you curse or you bless? Let's begin to talk to God. Today is not a general prayer. It is talking about you. Talk to God. Talk to God. In fact, this is not time to do your duty in church. This is the time to talk to God about yourself. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. And I know God is able to do it. God is able to perfect everything that concerns Him. Shall we rise first? Shall we rise? Join your hand with somebody. You are going to pray for that person. Join your hand with somebody. You are going to pray for that person. Cover that person with the blood of Jesus. Begin to decree what you want God to do for you and for him or her in the mighty name of Jesus. Ordinary handkerchief from the body of Paul, heal the sick. Let's begin to decree in the mighty name of Jesus. Allow God the Holy Spirit, who is the God of now, who is we are celebrating on the Pentecost Sunday, to pray through you. I worship you for your daughter. Glorify your holy name, O Lord. That in the mighty name of Jesus, I do your rejoicing is here. Perfect. This hand, whatsoever she lays her hands on, shall prosper. Thank you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Be glorified, be exalted. Thank you, everlasting Father, King of Glory. We worship you. Let's begin to bring our prayers to a close. So shall it be. So shall it be. So it is. In the mighty name of Jesus. The power, the Pentecostal power is just the same today. No matter what they say, the power, the Pentecostal power, it is just the same today. Daddy, we thank you, loving God, for your word. Father, is the tale of the expected. Everything you expect us to do, and that you have empowered us to do, and you have made provision for us to do. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we will not fail you. In the mighty name of Jesus, we will not fail you. The power of the Pentecost, Father, it is the same today, O Lord. God, the Holy Spirit, walk through us. Walk with us. Walk around us. Perfect everything that concerns us in the mighty name of Jesus. This is our year of restoration. Father, restore our life in the mighty name of Jesus. Take sickness far away from our homes in the mighty name of Jesus. Plant us beside the rivers of waters. Let's begin to bear our fruit. This is our season. Our leaves will never wither. Whatsoever we lay our hands on shall prosper. It shall be well with us. It shall be well with our spouse. It shall be well with our children. The expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. Nobody will weep over their children. No matter how long we live, we will not bury any one of them. In the mighty name of Jesus, according to the word of God, 1,000 before by our side, 10,000 by our right hand, but they will never come near us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we will not gather to weep. We will not gather to sorrow. In the mighty name of Jesus, we will possess our possession, including our building, including a building for the Lord. To the glory and honor of your name. Father, as many as have sung with me that here I am, O Lord, send me. Father, send us. Because when you give a vision, you make the provision. Let your name be glorified. Perfect everything that concerns us. To you alone be all the glory. Father, we pray for our nation, O Lord. We pray for our nation of birth. We pray for our nation of origin. We pray for the nation of our sojourn. You said in their prosperity we shall prosper. Father, prosper them, O Lord. Heal our land. Take pride away from our lives. Father, take wickedness from your church. And let your name be glorified. Thank you, Father, for answer to prayers. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the adoration. This week we are blessed. We will remain blessed. We will be favored. We will remain favored. In the mighty name of Jesus, our pastors, that you have made the head for us, O Lord, for your anointing will flow through them. In the mighty name of Jesus, they will not weep. They will not sorrow. Not over any one of us on anything that belongs to them. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, this week, O Lord, nobody will, even if everybody has forgiven, forgotten them, you will remember them for good. To the glory and honor of your name. We commit the rest of the service unto you. Take preeminence. Thank you, Father, for answer to prayers. For in Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.